Amen. We're turning to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, this beautiful passage, God's Word, what a comfort to the souls of believers. And we want to continue in our study today by coming to verse number 2. For the sake of time, we'll simply read the first two verses as we come to pray and ask for God's blessing to be upon this passage. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for these few words. But oh, the depths of the riches of blessing that they contain. We thank you, Lord, that Christ is the shepherd of his people. Thank you, he leads us, protects us, guards us, and provides for us. The only reason we're here today, as the people of God, in fellowship and worshiping, is because the Lord is our shepherd. And we pray today that the truths of this psalm will come to us with a freshness and with blessing. Close away all other distracting thoughts. Lord, they're not appropriate for this time. We want to hear thy voice and thy leading. And therefore, cleanse us afresh today. Empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy spirit. Speak, O Lord, I ask, with the voice that wakes the dead. May the people leave this service today saying, the Lord spoke to me. We ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. In verse number 1, we have the Christians standing in Christ. They stand as the sheep that has been rescued by the shepherd, and they stand with everything they need being provided from his hand. In relation to the shepherd's relationship with the sheep, we see a great picture of Christ's care for the church. And we could summarize verse number 1 by using four words beginning with the letter L. The shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. What does that teach us? Well, it teaches us that the shepherd loved the sheep. The shepherd loved the sheep. There was a concern in his heart for those who had gone astray, you and me, and he loved us. But not only do we see the love of the shepherd, we see the life of the shepherd, because secondly, the shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And had Christ not given his life for us and shed his precious blood and become the sacrifice for sinners, then we would never be able to say these words, the Lord is my shepherd. We have the love, the life, but we have the lifting of the shepherd, because the shepherd has lifted the sheep out of the mire of sin. And praise God today, we can sing, he lifted me with tender hands, he lifted me. And we have the love of the shepherd, the life of the shepherd, the lifting of the shepherd. Then we have the word leave, because the shepherd will never leave the sheep. You know, we read in John's Gospel chapter 10 about the false shepherd. And whenever the wolf comes or whenever the enemy comes, what do? They run away because they are not true shepherds. They do not truly care for the sheep. They do not truly love the sheep. They're not willing to risk their life for the sheep. They run in the other direction. Friend, whenever the enemy would seek to attack us, Christ doesn't run. In fact, our shepherd hedges us about and protects us from the fiery darts of the wicked one. When we come to verses 2 and 3 of this beautiful psalm, we read of some of the spiritual blessings that the Lord provides for his people. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, what's interesting about this psalm is that verse number 1 speaks about our salvation. Verse number 4 speaks about our glorification. That time whenever we will die and go home to be with the Lord. But in the middle, there is a life to be lived. And therefore, verses 2 and 3 speak about that. That's our sanctification. That's the Lord helping us along and providing for us those things that we need. Blessing us in abundance, beyond measure, daily. And when we look at these verses, we cannot go over them without stopping to notice that there is a very important word that occurs four times in these verses. It's the word he. It's the word he. I encourage you to underline that word each of those four times, because every blessing that we have today is because of him. It's because of Christ. Oh, you see, if we want to walk in paths of righteousness, we need him. If our soul is to be restored and revived and refreshed and blessed, we need him. If we're going to rest in the green pastures and beside the still waters, friend, we need him. And through the work and efforts of the shepherd, the sheep are blessed. And through the works and efforts of our heavenly shepherd, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, believers are blessed. And it's my duty as a minister of the gospel to remind every believer continually that we cannot have any blessing outside of Christ. We're spoiled for this world. All we need is in Christ. All that satisfies is Christ. And praise God, all that we need, his hand will provide. Turn with me, and keep your hand there, but turn with me to John chapter 15, because this is explained in the New Testament, and we could take all the different places where we're shown our dependency on Christ. But in this instance, we have a picture in John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So there's the first thing. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. So we have two pictures here. We have the shepherd, and the sheep belongs to the shepherd. We have the vine, and the branches belong to the vine. And no matter what picture you take of Christ and his church, you will find that the church, the people who are saved, belong to him. And you see, when you start to get that into your head and into your heart, friend, that will transform your life. You don't have to live in sin anymore because you belong to him. You have a purpose in this life today because you belong to him. He has purchased you with a price. You're not your own. And you're to live unto him and in him and through him, and he will richly, richly bless you. So there's the picture. But look at the principle in verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And dear believer, without Christ, you cannot bless yourself. You cannot bless yourself. You can read the Bible. And if you're not doing so with Christ beside you, it will not be a blessing to you. Friend, if you're simply reading to fulfill some reading plan or to tick off your duty so you don't feel guilty at the end of the day, and that's all it is, it will not be a blessing. But if you pray, Lord, speak to me. Show me yourself in this book today. I'll tell you, it'll be a blessing to your heart. Without him, we can do nothing. We can't serve him properly, because whenever we come to the day of judgment and we stand before the Lord and our works are put through the fire, friend, those things that we did just because we had to do it, those things that we did with pride, those things that we did without any sincerity, they'll be burned up like the wood, the hay, and the stubble. There'll be no blessing for those things. But the things that we did because we love the Lord, and we did it sincerely, and we did it with all of our heart, and we did it without pride, we did it with an eye to the glory of God, those things will come through the fire, the precious stones, the gold and the silver. And therefore, without him, we can do nothing. So with the picture, we've got the principle, but notice the power. And this is what takes us back, actually, to Psalm 23. Look at verse 27. If ye abide in me. Now, what does it mean to abide in Christ? It says here, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. That's what it means to abide in Christ. To abide in Christ means to abide in his word. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So if we abide in Christ and we're in his word, there will be fruit in our lives. Praise God. Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments. So we are, it's being emphasized here, you belong to Christ. Without him you can do nothing. And to bear fruit and to see blessing in your life, you must abide in him. We ought to keep short accounts with God. When we sin and fail, as we do on a daily basis, don't wait until the end of the day, but say, Lord, I am sorry for what I have done. Forgive me for that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have been there. And the Lord will do that. And therefore, the principle is we can do nothing without him. His power and the power to live in blessing and the Christian life is inextricably linked with the word of God. Now, why do I say that to you? Why have I turned you over there? Because if you turn back to Psalm 23, each of these blessings, verses 2 and verse number 3, I believe, are linked with the word of God. They are linked with the word of God. And I hope to show you that as we preach. How do we know what the paths of righteousness are? How are we led in truth and righteous ways? Well, through the word of God. How is our soul restored? Through the word of God. How does he make us to lie down in green pastures and beside the still waters? Well, those are beautiful pictures of the word of God that I will show you now. Verse number 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now that little phrase, he maketh me to lie down, is 6 words in English, but in the Hebrew it's actually 1 word. And that 1 word means to rest or to sit. And the emphasis here in this part is rest. There are seasons of activity in our lives, and those are very important. But there are also seasons of rest, and they are essential. And on a daily basis, there will be rest and there will be activity. And due to the heat of the noonday and the afternoon there in the land of Israel, if a shepherd wanted to take his sheep somewhere to graze, fresh pasture, somewhere that he wanted to move them onto for the next little while, he had to do so in the early part of the day. He had to do it in the morning time. Before the sun was at its height, he didn't travel with them in the afternoon, but he did so in the morning. And in the early morning, he would have got up in the cool of the day and walked with the sheep and moved them along. And then when it came to the afternoon time, the sheep had been engaged in that activity. They'd been walking in the day was getting warmer. And they now come to the place where they were able to graze and they were able to drink. And they were able to rest. They were able to rest. And one of the great blessings of being a Christian is that we are able to rest in Christ. And there are times that we need to come aside from our activity and rest. Rest our body, rest our minds, and rest our soul. Now, I was reading a book that spoke about this rest that is spoken of here in Psalm 23. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's a very interesting book. And he writes that sheep do not lie down easily and will not unless 4 conditions are met. Because they are timid, they will not lie down if they are afraid. Because they are social animals, they will not lie down if there's friction among the sheep. If flies or parasites are troubling them, they will not lie down. If they're anxious about food or if they're hungry, they will not lie down. But it says here that he maketh me to lie down. And therefore, what's being said is that the shepherd deals with every single one of those things that would cause anxiety in the sheep. And friend, do we not see ourselves in that picture? We cannot rest when we are fearful. There's no true rest when there's friction with other people. There's no rest whenever things are annoying us or bothering us, like the flies or the parasites would bother the sheep. And certainly when we're hungry and starving, and not knowing where food is coming from, there is no rest at that particular point. But just like the shepherd provides and makes a place of comfort for the sheep, so our Saviour makes a place of comfort for us to rest. And friend, it's found within his word, within the hearing of his voice, in his presence. That's the place of blessing, because our fears are dealt with. Our frictions are dealt with, because the Lord tells us how to deal with other people in love and in forgiveness, and to prefer others before ourselves. The botherations of life and those things that annoy us, like the flies annoy the sheep, friend, they become less important in the presence of the Lord, don't they? We can give them over to him. And we do not suffer hunger in his presence, because he feeds us with the finest of the wheat through his precious word. And therefore, the Lord, our Saviour, our great shepherd, can deal with all of our problems. And sometimes we think, well, I need to get everything sorted out before I come to the presence of God and to the Word of God. No, we need to come to the Word of God and say, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Saviour. I come to thee. Bring your fears to the Lord. Bring your problems to the Lord. Bring all of those things that annoy and hurt to the Lord, and He will make it to be that there is a place of rest for you through his word. Isn't it wonderful? Just simply rest upon the word of the Lord. And this is what he has promised to do for us. Christ, our shepherd, has promised in Ezekiel chapter 34, and we've come to this in each of the messages we've preached, but it's a very important chapter in understanding the role of the shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, verse 11, this is the Lord speaking. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. And sometimes, friend, we simply need to lie down, to stop, and learn that the world is not going to stop if we stop. And the work of God isn't going to finish because we stop for a little while. And we need to take time to care for ourselves and body and in mind. And we need to listen to the leading of the Lord. I know it tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But I remember one of the preachers saying, but the stops of a good man are also ordered by the Lord. And to stop and start is to be in the will of God according to his leading. There is the necessity of sitting and resting. I think of Jesus in the home of Mary and Martha. Two ladies who loved the Lord. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Two ladies who wanted to do their best by the Lord. But we read in Scripture that one chose the better part. It's not that Martha was doing anything wrong, but she was missing out on the blessing. The great blessing that day was found as Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. She was anxious and all worked up about what was going on. About many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary chose the good part. Where was she? Sitting at Jesus' feet. Listening to him speak. We need that daily. Oh, friend, we need to daily get alone with the Lord. Sit at Jesus' feet. She was sitting there. And how often we would avoid trouble, anxiety, care, confusion, foolish decisions, if we would only first sit and listen to his voice, open his truth and open his word. God's word alone can bring rest to your soul, because this is what the shepherd wants the sheep to do, to rest. And not only do we have the rest of stopping our activity, but we have the rest with peace in our heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Do you see that word again, that small word, me? We have the word he does these things for us, and he is saying, trust in me, because in me ye have peace. Then if you're troubled today, go to Christ. If anxieties and fears and trepidations are keeping you awake at night, go to your Savior, the Prince of Peace, who has promised thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. True rest and peace is depending upon the person, the work, and the word of Christ. C.H. Spurgeon said of this passage, "What are these green pastures but the scriptures of truth, always fresh, always rich, and never exhausted. Sweet and full are the doctrines of the gospel, fit food for souls, so tender as tender grass is a natural nutrient for sheep." In our lying down, we think of the necessity of rest. But in the green pastures, we think of the necessity of food. Because not only are we to rest upon the word of God, but we are to feast on the word of God. We rest on the promises, but we grow as we take scripture in. And as we feast on God's word, receiving it by faith and meekness and gladness, we will grow in grace and in Christ-likeness and in spiritual maturity. And that's what it's spoken about. "For he maketh me to lie down in green pastures." There's such great provision there. Now, not every part of the land of Israel is lush and green. We know that. You've seen the picture. Some people have been there. In fact, it is that the shepherd often has to walk to the places where there is that grass and where there is that pasture. And once that is used up, he has to look again and go elsewhere, because there always has to be something for the sheep. And you know, we're living in a world today where there's so many things we could feast upon, so many things we could take into our soul through our eyes and through our ears. So much nonsense. Some of it's absolute poison. And we'll tell a bitter tale in our lives. However, the Lord leads us in green pastures. There is always a word in season for you and for me. There's always a word for today. There's always a word that the Lord will give when we come to his word. So friend, it's not that the Lord isn't speaking. It's not that there isn't provision for you. The question is, are you willing to open the word and see what God would say to your soul? Look at the second part. It says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now, the Bible in Scripture is described as water in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5, "Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." And there is a cleansing property in water. It's used to clean. We clean our hands, we clean our dishes, we clean our clothes. Water is used because we can use it to clean. And there is that principle in the word of God. We have the washing of the water of the word. Our minds need to be cleansed from what we've heard today in the place where we've worked. Our hearts need to be cleansed from those things that are not right. The pride might be starting to bubble up, or envy might be starting to bubble up, or bitterness. But as we read the word of God, it's revealed to us, and we ask the Lord to forgive us, and we go by God's word, and as such we are cleansed and we rejoice in this. Notice what it says. It calls it by the still waters. The word still means peaceful. And the shepherd leads his sheep to the place of peace, not to noisy, turbulent waters, because they will frighten the timid sheep. The noisy, turbulent waters will cause them to back off, and they will not get the water that is necessary for their thirst. So the shepherd leads them to the place that is appropriate for them, the place in which they can drink. Wherewithal shall a young man or woman cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Friend, we're clean through the washing of the water of the word. Not only has water a cleansing property, but it has a refreshing property. And you'll know what it's like when you're thirsty. Whenever the heat of the day, or you're maybe out for a walk, or maybe you're laboring, or whatever it is, and the thirst comes upon you, and it gets to the point you can hardly go any further, and you need your thirst to be quenched, and you take that water, and you sip it, and almost immediately, there is a refreshing and a satisfaction, because that is exactly what is needed at that moment in time to quench the thirst. Friend, we're living in a dry and barren land. And we daily need the word of God to come and keep our hearts satisfied. And yes, to keep them clean. In Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Now, the word converting there in the Hebrew, yes, it has the idea of turning around or turning back. So we can see how that word works in the word conversion, because a person who's saved turns away from their sin and turns on to the Lord through the word of God. But the word which is translated converting in Psalm 19, verse 7, can also be translated refreshing. And that is one of the ways it's used in the Hebrew. And therefore, it's the idea of turning away from the thirst because you have been refreshed and you have been blessed. And how many times have we not been in need as Christians? And we needed a word from the Lord, and we walked away saying, "Thank you, Lord, that's the word for me." It refreshed our soul. It blessed our soul. Our thirst was satisfied. Maybe you were seeking for the guidance of the Lord, and the Lord gave that verse, and that was the verse for you, and you were able to walk away and say, "Praise the Lord, for he has satisfied my hunger and my thirst through his word." You see, the picture of the grass and the water presents to us a place of comfort. And there is no greater comfort that the heart of man can know than the blessing of reading, believing, and obeying the word of God. You see, he is not the author of confusion like the turbulent, noisy, fast-flowing waters. He is not the author of confusion, but rather he reveals his truth unto us, and he leads us by his word. And we are failing if we do not notice those three words. He leadeth me. He knows the best place for us to be fed, the best place for us to rest, the best place for our thirst to be quenched. He leadeth me. Twice in that passage we read those words. He leadeth me. There is a leader. There is a shepherd. But friend, are you willing to be led? Are you willing today to be led by the Lord? Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He delighteth in his way. And it is a great blessing to the Lord to see his people walking in truth and in righteousness. Let me, as we close today, remind you how the Lord leads. There is an awful, awful attitude among some people that think, well, you know, the things of God, they're hard. They're restrictive. Oh, they diminish my enjoyment of life. What utter nonsense. What utter nonsense from the very pit of hell. The word of God gives us blessing and freedom. There is no greater joy than being obedient to his word and to his truth. Let me just read you these verses as we close. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6, it tells us, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Have you asked the Lord to lead you today? Have you acknowledged him as your shepherd? Have you acknowledged him today as the one that you are going to follow and obey? because he has promised to direct you. And that's one of the ways he leads us, by directing us this way or that way. Secondly, if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps." So he leads by direction, and he also leads by example. And as you read the Word of God and see the character of God and the life of Christ, you will see how you ought to react. Look what it says, verse 22. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." And friend, a Christian cannot, and is absolutely no blessing, if when someone reviles him, they have the attitude, "Well, I'll revile them 20 times harder and they'll not do that to me again." That's not the attitude of the Word of God. That's not Christ-like. That's not the example. But rather, he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Friend, commit yourself to God. Even whenever you feel like striking out, even when you feel like tearing the stripes off someone, submit yourself to God. Ask him to keep you faithful, spiritual, Christ-like. And, of course, to deal with the matter that's causing you such trouble. Psalm 119, verse 133. Psalm 119, verse 133. It says there, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." So the Lord leads by direction, he leads by example, and he leads by scripture. How exciting to open the Word of God to see what the Lord would say to you. The King of heaven and earth, the Lord of the universe, your Savior, wants to communicate with you today through his truth. And what a prayer to pray as you come to God's Word. "Lord, order my steps in thy word." Not just to hear, not even just to believe, but to put it into practice in my life. And one more verse as we come to a close. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." God speaks and leads specifically. And therefore, you will find it will be a natural thing if you're doing something that's wrong as a Christian, something you know that's not right before God, there will be no great desire to run to this book. Because if you are going to the left hand, or the right hand, to the left hand, if you're going the wrong direction, you know when you open this book and read it, there's going to be a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. This is the way you should be walking. This is the place you ought to be." And therefore, it becomes that continual cycle. We close the word because we know we're doing wrong. We do wrong because we're not reading the word. That's how you wander. That's how you wander. But oh, how wonderful when you hear the Lord saying, "Child, this is the way. This is the way." And one of the greatest blessings of the Christian is to be surrendered to God's will and to God's way. In Genesis 24:27, it says, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." Is that you this morning? Can you say, "I am in the way, the Lord has led me. I know I'm in the center of God's will. I know for sure I'm where I ought to be. I can pray before God knowing that there's nothing between me and my Savior." Friend, there's no greater place of blessing than to be in the way that the Lord led me. Dear unsaved person this morning, the Lord's calling you to follow him. You're walking on a road that leads to a lost eternity in hell. Maybe some false shepherd has said, "It's okay the life you're living. Sure, look how happy everybody is. Sure, the Lord doesn't need this and the Lord doesn't need that. And you're not following the Savior. If you're not following in his path, if you're not following his footsteps, if you're not following in obedience to his word, friend, hell is your eternal reward. Praise God this morning, the one with the nails, scarred hands, is pointing you to the narrow way, to the blood-sprinkled way, to the way of peace and joy and blessing, to the way that leads to heaven. Will you not come this morning? Will you not come and receive him as your Savior? Turn from your sin and repentance and trust him. Because if you can't say, I am in his way, I'm following him, then friend, your soul's lost. May God grant you wisdom to follow him today. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we've been challenged this morning. Thou art the God who leads. Our Savior is the shepherd who leads his sheep. And perhaps in this meeting this morning, there are those that will have to say that they have not been following the shepherd this week. Their feet have not been walking in the footprints of Jesus. The book has been closed. God's voice has been distant. Their lives have not known the joy and blessing that only Christ can bring. I pray today, Lord, you will restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. Bring them into the place where the Lord's leading them today. And may they leave this church being in the way the Lord led me. Lord, as believers, so easily we can get knocked out of the way. Lord, maybe it's a busy morning and we haven't time, or we think we don't have time to read. Lord, maybe it's a day that has just bombarded us with news and things that we weren't expecting, and we haven't taken time to pray. Oh Lord, help us to spend time in the presence of our Savior, to sit at Jesus' feet like Mary, to do the better part, and then to serve, having been in his presence, remembering that without him, I can do nothing. Thank you that our Savior is a loving, loving shepherd. Lord, if there's one this morning and they're listening to false shepherds who say, oh, it'll be okay, it'll be okay, it'll all end up okay. Peace, peace when there is no peace. I pray, Lord, you'll open their eyes to see that Jesus is the only shepherd, the only Savior, the only Redeemer, and that he's able to save them today. Bring the lost to Christ, we pray. Don't allow one to continue wandering in the dark paths of sin, but even this day, save for thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.